RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement to be accomplished in 2017. Luxembourg Foreign Minister praises pluralism and tolerance in Indonesia. And now the news in detail. Indonesia and Australia has agreed to elevate trade relations through the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IACEPA. The first negotiation of IACEPA was held on September last year, and the seventh negotiation has been closed on Friday, May 26, 2017, in Jakarta. Director General for International Trade Negotiation of the Trade Ministry, Iman Pambagio, on a press conference on Tuesday, said, on the seventh round of negotiation, Indonesia and Australia has successfully reached an agreement. He is optimistic that the fully agreement can be achieved by the end of this year. It seems that we can negotiate so that the agreement can be reached by the end of 2017, in a condition that each side improves the persuasion process with the local stakeholders. It requires, of course, the political commitment of all institutions in Jakarta and Canberra to be able to finish the agreement. Iman Pambagio further said that the IACEPA negotiation has produced the early outcomes to be implemented before the signing of the agreement. The early outcomes are, among others, cooperation in skilled worker exchange, partnership in food security in meat and beef, financial service, IABPG recommendation, vocational fashion and jewelry design, food innovation, medicine and food standard, herbal product and standard mapping. Based on the study, IACEPA agreement could increase GDP about $33.1 billion for Indonesia. Besides, the agreement can also improve human resources through vocational education and training cooperation that was discussed related to the cooperation context under early outcomes or the IACEPA chapter cooperation. Meanwhile, the eighth round will be held in Australia on July 31st to August 4, 2017. Indonesia Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi welcomed Luxembourg Foreign Minister Jane Asselborn at the Indonesian Foreign Ministry office on Tuesday. In press conference after the bilateral meeting, Minister Asselborn condemned the suicide bombing in Kampung Melayu last week that caused wounded and death. According to him, terrorism and extremism ruin the peace and stability. Terrorism had to be fought together. He added, it is not fair if Indonesia's face was represented by the terror attack of Kampung Melayu. He also said that Indonesia is the pluralistic country and respect minority.
As the world's largest majority Muslim democracy, with a wide variety of cultures, Indonesia has a major role to play in promoting pluralism, harmony, and tolerance for all races, genders, and all religions.
Besides, Minister Asselborn also appreciated the Indonesian government's effort to promote democracy through Bali Democracy Forum that will be held for the 10th time next year, with the Indonesian government's commitment to protect minority people and to uphold pluralism value. Minister Asselborn is convinced that the Indonesia and Luxembourg relation will be better in the future. The Ministry of Finance target Indonesia economic growth to reach 5.4% in the second quarter until the end of 2017. It is intended to maintain the national economic growth target of 5.3% by the end of 2017. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, after attending a limited cabinet meeting on the 2017 budget revenue and expenditure on Tuesday at the Jakarta Presidential Office, said Indonesia's economic growth in the first quarter of 2017, which only reached 5.01%, possess a greater challenge in achieving the target national growth of 5.3% by the end of the year.
Dengan kuartal pertama sekitar 5,0.
With the first quarter about 5.01% and to be able to reach 5.3%, we should grow higher in the second quarter 3 and 4 for about 5.4%. This is an easy challenge. A substantial change that changes from the side of the country revenue is the average oil price. Until now, it has reached $50 per barrel. The assumption in the state budget is $45 per barrel. We also see from the cost recovery, there may also be a slight increase. From that change, we see also the evaluation after the amnesty tax and the projection of tax revenue for the year 2017, which is expected still to be pressure from the revenue side. So in total state budget 2017, there will be an increase in revenue from additional oil price, but there is a slight decrease of tax revenue. In total, there may be a net revenue of about 15 trillion rupiah.
Secara total mungkin ada net sekitar 15 triliun.
Finance Minister Sri Mulyani further said another factor that will support Indonesia economy in 2017 is the improvement in import-export activities and the rising value of investment. In addition, Sri Mulyani said that although the inflation rate has declined compared to the previous year, the level of domestic consumption is relatively stable, so that the second quarter economic growth will be able to reach 5.4%. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs until now could not ensure the death of Indonesian citizen during military operation in Marawi, the Philippines. In a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi said the Foreign Ministry continued to coordinate with the Philippine authorities to confirm the spread news. However, until now, the Philippines provide no official information. The unidentified Indonesian citizen was allegedly killed along with a number of other foreign nationals during a May 25 military operation in the town of Marawi. However, Minister Retno confirmed that she cannot confirm it yet because it requires official information from the Philippine authorities. I cannot confirm yet, but we have received information to be further probed about the allegation of an Indonesian citizen killed in a May 25th military operation. Minister Retno further said 16 Tabligh pilgrims from Indonesia are in two different places. 10 Indonesian citizens are in the city of Sultan Dragon Dimaporo in Lanao del Norte province, and 6 people are in Marawi town in Lanao del Sur province. According to Retno, the 16 pilgrims are being attempted to be evacuated by the Indonesian Consulate General Davao. Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia Davao has issued a circular to the citizen to be careful. The Director for Action of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, Gopera Panggabean on Tuesday in Jakarta said that until December 2016, KPPU has successfully handled 348 cases of business competition. According to him, 245 among the cases had a total value 22.5 trillion rupiah and 73.9 billion US dollar. Gopera explained the whole cases in 2016 happened in construction service sector, oil and gas, health tools and farmer. Gopera also explained that of the total cases, the Business Competition Supervisory Commission has successfully collected 2.7 trillion rupiah from compensation and fine of fraud practices.
Ini akan disampaikan kepada lembaga utang negara untuk menagihkan utang KPPU yang sudah berkuatan hukum tetap. Kita usulkan gitu ya.
Furthermore, Gopera Panggabean explained total of 348 cases of the business completion has gained from 2,537 report from the People to Business Competition Supervisory Commission. Gopera expressed hope with the business competition, the fraud can be minimized to make the Indonesian business world healthier. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the involvement of the military or TNI in fighting terrorism would depend upon needs and would also need better coordination with other security agencies. He made the statement in response to proposal for TNI's involvement in the fight against terrorism, which would be regulated in the revised anti-terrorism law now still being deliberated in the House of Representatives, regarding criticism that it would increase the risk of human rights violation. The vice president stated that terrorism was a cruel criminal act, and security forces would act for the sake of the safety of citizens and state interests. Kalla added that although the government wished that the revision process could be speeded up, it would not intend to produce a government regulation in lieu of that, because Law No. 15/2003 on terrorism crime is still effective enough to fight terrorism. Kalla revealed that the revision of the anti-terrorism law is part of efforts to increase the performance of the government and security agencies to overcome terrorism from an early stage. And the last item. The Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, will work with the Chinese authorities that deal with anti-business monopolies to address a problem in garlic trading that had sparked a sharp price increase for the commodity. Based on an investigation by the commission, the 6 business groups that have dominated garlic trading imported the commodity from China, while in China the trade in garlic was dominated by only 2 big traders. Previously, the KPPU had been working with the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, or ACCC, in dealing with a beef cartel in that country. The commodity, which was suspected of having been smuggled into Indonesia from China and India, was stockpiled at the North Jakarta warehouse. KPPU Chairman Syarkawi Rauf, during a press briefing in his office in Jakarta on Tuesday, that they are suspicious that the garlic trade problem started in China. Therefore, they have to coordinate with China's competition authority. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled The American Influence in Europe Not As Big As Before. About a month ago, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, in an interview with the German Daily, said her work relationship with U.S. President Donald Trump had been well developed. Despite differences of opinion among them, she still recognizes the important role the United States has in overcoming a number of conflicts. Merkel, therefore, does not hesitate to express the need for U.S. involvement in various conflicts. But last Sunday, May 28, Merkel no longer spoke in the same tone. In a campaign in front of her supporters in Munich, Merkel firmly declared Europe to be self-reliant and no longer dependent on the United States and Britain. These two countries, in view of the German chancellor, are no longer reliable. Nevertheless, Germany and Europe continue to maintain good relations with the United States and Britain. In addition, good relations between Germany and France under the new president, Emmanuel Macron, must also be maintained. Merkel's statement seems to be an expression of her disappointment after the G7 meeting in Italy Saturday, May 27, did not produce any decision. Merkel said negotiations at the summit, which she described as 6-1, were tough, especially in the implementations of the 2015 Paris climate deal. What displeased Merkel most possibly was President Trump's attitude, who saw the negotiation as successful and satisfactory for America. Trump said he would take steps related to the climate agreement in Paris 2015 and indicated that he would make America out of the deal. If America is really out, then this would be a blow to its allies in Europe. In addition to the climate issue, Trump also strongly criticized NATO for failing its defense budget commitment by 2% of GDP of each member countries. Angela Merkel's expressions of European independence is a sign that the role of the United States in Europe is declining. This is different from the time during post-World War II when Europe desperately needed the United States to rebuild the post-war continent. Indeed, European independence is important for its economic alliance. The independence may also be very useful for ASEAN and Indonesia to more easily enter the European market. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinu Braha. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1910, the creation of the Union of South Africa. The Union of South Africa is the historic predecessor to the present-day Republic of South Africa. It came into being on 31st of May 1910 with the unification of four previous disparate British colonies: Cape Colony, Natal Colony, Transvaal Colony, and Orange River Colony. Following World War I, the Union of South Africa was granted the administration of the German Southwest Africa Colony as a League of Nations mandate, and it became treated in most respect if it were another province of the Union. The Union of South Africa was founded as a dominion of the British Empire. It was governed under a form of constitutional monarchy, with the British monarch represented by a governor-general. The Union came to an end when the 1961 Constitution was enacted. On May 31, 1961, the country became a sovereign republic under the new name Republic of South Africa. Next is from 1987, the first World No Tobacco Day. World No Tobacco Day is observed around the world every year on May 31st. It is intended to encourage a 24-hour period of abstinence from all forms of tobacco consumption around the globe. The day is further intended to draw attention to the widespread prevalence of tobacco use and to negative health effects, which currently lead to nearly 6 million deaths each year worldwide,
including 6 million of which are the result of non-smokers being exposed to the second-hand smoke. The member states of the World Health Organization created the World No Tobacco Day in 1987. In the past 20 years, the day has been met with both enthusiasm and resistance around the globe from governments, public health organizations, smokers, growers, and the tobacco industry. Last is 1957, the first recognized Gawai Dayak is held. Gawai Dayak is an annual festival celebrated by the Dayak people in Sarawak, Malaysia and West Kalimantan, Indonesia on May the 31st and June the 1st. It is a public holiday in Sarawak and is both a religious and social occasion recognized since 1957. Gawai Dayak was the concept of the radio producers Tan Kingsley and Owen Liang, taken up by the Dayak community. The British colonial government then refused to recognize Dayak Day until 1962. They called it Sarawak Day for the inclusion of all Sarawakians as a national day regardless of ethnic origin. On June 1, 1963, Datuk Michael Buma, a Betong native, hosted the celebrations of the first Gawai Dayak at his home at Siol Kandis, Kuching, Sarawak. On September 25, 1964, Sarawak Day was gazetted as a public holiday acknowledging the formation of the Federation of Malaysia. The holiday was first celebrated on June 1, 1965, and it became a symbol of unity, aspiration, and hope for the Dayak community. It is an integral part of Dayak social life. It is a Thanksgiving Day, marking a bountiful harvest and a time to plan for the new farming season or other endeavors ahead. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus for Green, entitled PTPN 5 Utilize Crude Palm Oil Waste for Electricity Production. State-owned company PT Perkebunan Nusantara 5, in cooperation with Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, as the owner of the budget, on Wednesday, May 23rd, held a groundbreaking ceremony of the biogas power plant with capacity of 1.5 to 2.0 megawatt at Terantam Oil Palm Factory, PT Perkebunan Nusantara 5, Tapung Hulu District, Kampar Regency, Riau. Biogas is obtained from crude oil palm liquid waste. According to Commercial Director of PT Perkebunan Nusantara 5, M. Arwin Nasution, his site happily welcomes the offer from Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology to build a power plant that uses crude palm oil waste as its raw material. The agreement between PT Perkebunan Nusantara 5 and the Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology has been made in 2016. Arwin Nasution said, PT Perkebunan Nusantara 5 has big potential in terms of waste management of palm oil into renewable energy, such as biogas. His company has the opportunity to build approximately 54 megawatt of bioenergy power plant. Those 54 megawatt consists of a biogas power plant with a capacity of 15.37 megawatts and a biomass power plant with the capacity of 38.57 megawatts. Arwin also said that the utilization of the waste from palm oil and rubber companies in Riau Province is considered as a way to survive in the business competition. Meanwhile, Deputy for Energy and Material Information Technology of the Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, Dr. Hamam Riza, said that the construction of the biogas power plant of Terantam Palm Oil Mill, financed by the Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, is implemented gradually, starting from the 2017 budget. This construction will be a pilot project of biogas power plant from crude palm oil waste equivalent to 0.7 megawatt. The construction of 1.5 to 2.0 megawatt biogas power plant in Kampar Regency, Riau, began Monday, 29 May. The utilization of optimizations of assets, including waste, is one of the key success factors in order to survive and grow in this industry, said Hamam. That was Focus for Green. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Indonesia and Australia has agreed to elevate trade relations through the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IACEPA. Indonesia Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi welcomed Luxembourg Foreign Minister Jane Asselborn at the Indonesian Foreign Ministry office on Tuesday. The Ministry of Finance target Indonesia's economic growth to reach 5.4% in the second quarter until the end of 2017. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs until now could not ensure the death of Indonesian citizens during military operation in Marawi, the Philippines. In a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi said the Foreign Ministry continue to coordinate with the Philippine authorities to confirm the spread news. The Director for Action of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, Gopera Panggabean on Tuesday in Jakarta said that until December 2016, KPPU has successfully handled 348 cases of business competition. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the involvement of the military TNI in fighting terrorism would depend upon needs and would also need better coordination with other security agencies. And the last item, the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, will work with the Chinese authorities that deal with anti-business monopolies to address a problem in garlic trading that had sparked a sharp price increase for the commodity. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Akado Bulo tradition from South Sulawesi province. Stay tuned. Listeners, South Sulawesi has many hamlets and tribes which have various cultures and traditions. One of the traditions is Akado Bulo tradition at Tamalalang Hamlet, Taman Yeleng Village, Barombong Sub-District, Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. The hamlet has a distance around 10 kilometers from Makassar, the capital city of South Sulawesi. For the local people, the tradition has its own meaning. The tradition is a gathering event of relatives, and most relatives who stay far from the hamlet come to Tamalalang to attend this event. Listeners, annually, the local people of Tamalalang Hamlet celebrate the birth of the hamlet, which is called Atamu Taong, with Akado Bulo tradition, or to eat Kado Bulo, a dish which is usually known with the name Lemang. Akado Bulo tradition in Makassar language means food from bamboo, so it is extra dish which is eaten at the celebration and it is cooked in piece of bamboo. To cook Kado Bulo, a mixture of glutinous rice and coconut milk which is wrapped banana leaf, is entered into piece of bamboo. The tube of bamboo, which is has 40 cm long, is cooked by heating uprightly around the fireplace for about 3 hours until done. After being cooked, the kado bulo inside the bamboo is split and ready to be eaten with a sprinkling of serundeng, grated coconut, which is fried without oil with various ingredients. Kado bulo becomes the main dish, which is served by villagers to relatives or the guests. Listeners, Akado Bulo tradition has taken place from the period of the ninth king of Goa, namely I Matanre Karaeng Manguntungi Tumaparisi Kolona, who was in command in 1510 until 1546. The narration was immortalized in scripts of Goa Kingdom, which is called Lontara Bilang. Then, the ninth king of Goa instructed to build Somba Opu Fortress in 1525. At the time, the king asked to all villages, which were at surrounding area of the fortress, to participate in preparing food for the workers. Tamalalang is one of hamlets which has a distance around 1 kilometer from Somba Opu. Tamalalang people also make kado bulo to supply food for the workers, because it can last for 2 to 3 days. Since that time, Akado bulo becomes a tradition which is always celebrated by Tamalalang people to commemorate the birth of hamlet as well as harvest season. Akado bulo tradition used to stop when the war in Makassar broke in 1666 and continued with the occupation of the Dutch until the independence 1945. The tradition is held again after the independence of Indonesia by the 36th king of Goa, who was also the first regent of Goa, Andi Ijo Daeng Matawang Karaeng La Lolang Sultan Muhammad Abdul Qadir Aidudin. He suggested that Akado Bulo is connected to the commemoration of the independence of Indonesia as folk party. Since the time, Akado Bulo tradition has been celebrated not long time after the commemoration of the Independence Day. The celebration is also enlivened by attraction of art. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Akado Bulo tradition from South Sulawesi Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjenguk Teman, which in English means visiting a friend at the hospital. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topics. I'll say the sentence twice and you can repeat after me. Apa kabar? Apa kabar? In English, how are you? Kamu bagaimana? Kamu bagaimana? In English, how about you? Baik. Baik. In English, all right.
pergi. Pergi. In English, to go. Kemana. Kemana. In English, where. Rumah sakit. Rumah sakit. In English, hospital. Menjenguk. Menjenguk. In English, to visit. Teman. Teman. In English, friend. Sakit tipus. Sakit tipus. In English, typhoid. Kalau begitu. Kalau begitu. In English, so. Sampai ketemu nanti. Sampai ketemu nanti. In English, see you then. Now we give you an example of a conversation entitled Menjenguk teman di rumah sakit, or in English, visiting a friend at the hospital. The conversation is between A. Rudy and B. Adi. A. Hai, Adi, apa kabar? Hai, Adi, apa kabar? In English, Hai Adi, how are you? B. Kabar baik. Bagaimana dengan kamu? Kabar baik. Bagaimana dengan kamu? In English, I'm fine. How are you? A. Baik juga, Adi. Kamu mau pergi kemana? Baik juga, Adi. Kamu mau pergi kemana? In English, I'm fine too. Where are you going? B. Ke rumah sakit Sari Asih, menjenguk teman yang sedang sakit. Ke rumah sakit Sari Asih, menjenguk teman yang sedang sakit. In English, I want to go to Sari Asih Hospital to visit my friend who hospitalized there. A. Temanmu sakit apa? Temanmu sakit apa? In English, what is her illness? B. Sakit tipus. Sakit tipus. In English, typhoid. A. Baiklah, saya pergi dulu. Baiklah, saya pergi dulu. In English, alright, I'm going ahead then. B. Sampai ketemu nanti. Sampai ketemu nanti. In English, see you then. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Anis, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present religious music from a band called Wali. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Tomat or Tobat Maksiat by Wali. Happy listening.
Dengarlah hai sobat, saat kau maksiat dan kau bayangkan ajal mendekat. Apakan kau buat, kau takkan selamat. Pasti dirimu habis dan tamat. Bukan ku sok taat sebelum terlambat. Ayo sama-sama kita taubat. Dunia sesaat, awas kau tersesat. Ingatlah masih ada akhirat. Astagfirullah.
ingat mati, ingat sakit, ingatlah saat kau sulit. Kita pun kan menyusul mereka. Astagfirullahaladzim. Ingat mati, ingat sakit, ingatlah saat kau sulit.
Listener, the lyrics of this song invites us to immediately repent, because life is only one time. So we as human beings should avoid the immorality and gratefulness for many blessings that have been given by the God. Listener, WALI is a musical group formed in 1999 in Ciputat, South Tangerang, Banten. Its members are Faang as a vocalist, Apoy as guitarist, Tommy as drummer, Ovi as keyboardist, and Nunu as bassist. The WALI Band's debut album was released in 2008 entitled Orang Bilang, containing pop and Melayu songs. One of these songs in the album entitled Dig brings about great success to the WALI Band. Up to now, WALI has released 6 albums. One of his religious themed albums is Ingat Solawat, which was released in 2009. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Abatasa. Happy listening. Thank you.
izin tuh pergi ke musola itu. Mak tolong izinin ketemu sama kawan-kawanku. Mak minta izin lanjutkan pengajian kemarin. Mak tolong izinin belajar sama Ustadz Mahmudi. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, Allah Tuhan kita semua. Hodal Daro Zai Sin Shin, dari yang kaya sampai yang miskin. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, mari kita tingkatkan takwa. Hodal Daro Zai Sin Shin, masuk syurga. Kita harus jadi orang mukmin. Kan mak yang ngajarin Islam itu hakul yakin. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, Allah Tuhan kita semua. Modal Daro Zai Sin Shin, dari yang kaya sampai yang miskin. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, mari kita tingkatkan takwa. Modal Daro Zai Sin Shin, masuk surga ya bilang amin. Kita semua Hodal Daro Zai Sin Shin, dari yang kaya sampai yang miskin. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, Allah Tuhan kita semua. Hodal Daro Zai Sin Shin, dari yang kaya sampai yang miskin. Alif Fathah Fa Jim Ha, mari Modal Daro Zai Sin Shin, masuk syurga ya bilang amin.
Amin. Amin.
Amin.
Amin.
Listener, the song tells about a child who wants to go to study to read the Quran at the musala or a little mosque. In addition to praising the God, the song's refrain also contains Arabic alphabet, just like how a child begins to study. The song includes easy listening, so it's easy to get space in the heart of its listeners. Listener, all Waliban personnel are Pesantren graduates and some are alumni of an Islamic university in Jakarta. This is what may make the Wali Band release a religious song through the album entitled Ingat Salawat. However, it does not end there. The pop songs released by Wali Band are also like Yang Penting Halal, Setia Jujur and Takwa, and Si Udin Bertanya. These songs still contain Islamic values. The reason is to preach through the works that can be enjoyed by the listener. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Status Hamba and Ngantri ke Surga. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
kita semua anak manusia yang tak luput dari dosa. Lelaki wanita yang tua yang muda, semua pasti pernah salah. Tak ada satupun yang hidup sempurna, karena status kita hamba. Yang maha sempurna ya Allah Ta'ala, karena status Allah Tuhan kita. Wahai Allah, wahai Tuhanku, ampuni semua dosa-dosaku, dosa ibu dan bapakku, dan dosa-dosa semua hambamu. Wahai Allah, wahai Tuhanku, berikan kebaikan duniamu, kebaikan akhiratmu, jauhkanlah api nerakamu. Berbuatlah untuk duniamu kawan, seakan hidup selamanya. Berbuatlah untuk akhiratmu teman, seakan esok tiada. Tak ada satupun yang hidup sempurna, karena status kita hamba. Yang maha sempurna ya Allah Ta'ala, karena status Allah Tuhan kita. Wahai Allah, wahai Tuhanku, ampuni semua dosa-dosaku, dosa ibu dan bapakku, dan dosa-dosa semua hambamu. Wahai Allah, wahai Tuhanku, berikan kebaikan duniamu, kebaikan akhiratmu, jauhkanlah api neraka. Semua hambamu, wahai Allah, wahai Tuhanku, berikan kebaikan duniamu, kebaikan akhiratmu, jauhkanlah api nerakamu.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Robi itu bila ya Rabbah, wabila
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.